Many of us will recall, going back to our catechism or religion class days as children, answering the question, why did God make me? The answer, of course, to that is, God made us and placed us in this world, first of all, to come to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him, and in the end, to be with Him in heaven for all eternity. I sometimes even still ask the question, so that's the case, if God simply wanted me to be with Him in His presence forever, then why didn't He just put me there in the first place? Why did we have to come down to earth and suffer all the struggles that we go through day in and day out in life? Of course, there's a simple answer for that. God made us and put us in this world simply because He made the world itself first. We know that from Genesis, that God creates the world in all perfection and all beauty, and then wanted to share that with a creature that would be just like Himself, one that would appreciate all the wonderful things that He had made. And that's it. God makes the physical world first and wanted to share it out of love with us. So God creates something absolutely beautiful out of love and wants to share that with us in that love. Of course, we know in the story of Adam and Eve that it doesn't last that way. Human beings, being as we are, sin. Even though we sinned, and even though we took advantage of God's great generosity, even though we might use and abuse His gifts of creation, and sometimes use and abuse the gifts of one another, for our own selfish and sinful purposes, the fact remains, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we know it or not, that God exists and that God is love. God exists and God is love. And our lives, quite simply, are going to remain empty and useless unless we love God in return and love one another as He Himself has taught us. That's the Christian rule of life. Love God, our whole being, our neighbor, as we love ourselves. We've been blessed. Blessed with the gift of Christ Himself, blessed by Christ, who through His incarnation is coming among us as a man. Through His suffering, His death, and resurrection, the Lord Jesus has made us partakers in the divine nature. We can oftentimes say, well, I'm only human. I do things that are only natural, and that's certainly true. But we are not simply natural creatures like the rest of the animal world. We're far above that. We are supernatural, above nature, given a share in the divine image, lost through sin and restored by Christ. We have partakers in the divine nature because of that. Because of Christ, we have that opportunity for eternal life. You and I have entered into the glory of Christ through Him, with Him, in Him, by allowing Himself to live in us as we live in Him. And through Christ, we share in the joy of the life of the Trinity. Sons and daughters of God the Father, brothers and sisters of God the Son, and made so by the power of the Holy Spirit, the transforming power of the Spirit. When you look at the Holy Trinity, you see a life of communion and love. And our lives, likewise on earth, are meant to be lives of love and communion, such as we see in the life and communion, the love and communion of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This begins for us in the sacraments. Washed clean of sin, made God's own sons and daughters, who are renewed in sanctifying grace. We become fed and nourished by the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Eucharist. We're filled with the presence and the gifts of the Holy Spirit through baptism and confirmation. And through all this, you and I have been given a mission to remain in Christ, to preach Christ, to bring Christ to the world, to continue Christ's work through our calling, either through marriage and family or through sacred ministry. But whatever it is, the Lord wants you and me to go and to sanctify the world, to make it holy once again. That we are the body of Christ. We sanctify the world. We, the body of Christ, we Christ in the world, so to speak, working through love, working through holiness to bring the Lord's presence to the world and to bring the world to Christ. That's what we're here for. How do we do it? Is it a matter of faith? Definitely. Does this faith give us hope? Absolutely. Is it through charity? Obviously. But what else? Well, Christ teaches us in the gospel that along with faith, hope, and love, we conquer sin, We sanctify the world through prayer and through work. Through prayer and through work. In the first reading, we see the story of Abraham and the three visitors who come to see him. He doesn't realize it, but this is God himself who's come. The Trinity manifests himself to Abraham and promises that at their return, his return, the following year, Abraham would have a son. As St. Paul said, Abraham was generous and hospitable, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and it was. Abraham practicing the age-old virtue of hospitality, where he meets the needs of others. And Christ tells us to do the same thing in Matthew 25, that we're here to feed, to house, to clothe those who cannot feed, house, or clothe themselves. That we are here to care for the sick, to counsel the doubtful, to educate those who need learning, etc. All of these things which we call acts of mercy, extending the mercy of God through our acts of charity toward others in a merciful spirit. Why? To build them up. To build them up and to help them to be and to do better. We do this by seeing and recognizing Christ in them, and helping them to see and recognize the presence of Christ in themselves, and thus he becomes our peace. That's how we establish peace in the world, isn't it? By recognizing the presence of God in ourselves and others and responding to that with faith, with hope, with love. It's Christ himself who draws us into union with the Father and to one another. And through imitating Christ in our acts of mercy, that we're drawn into deeper union with the Father and one another. Like St. Paul says, we find ourselves bearing one another's burdens, uniting our own sufferings to the sufferings of Christ, and we do this for the good of all. So, brothers and sisters, in everything that we do, our daily activities, whatever it may be, as insignificant as it might seem, whatever we do, wherever we are, we can never forget that we are always and everywhere in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the presence of Jesus Christ is always and everywhere in our own presence. If we keep this mindset, we realize that because of this, sin has absolutely no place in the life of a Christian. It has no place at all in our lives and should never, ever be tolerated. Instead, sin must be repented of, confessed, removed, and replaced by grace and virtue. Remove sin, replacing it with grace and virtue. In everything that we do, in everything that we are, it's Christ himself that we proclaim. We admonish everyone, as St. Paul says, teaching everyone with all wisdom that we can present Christ to everyone and present everyone as perfect in Christ. How do we acquire this kind of wisdom? There's only one way. Prayer. It's prayer. Being in the presence of Christ, speaking with the Lord daily and often throughout the day. Not just the memorized prayers, which are good and helpful, but speaking to Christ heart to heart, mind to mind, spirit to spirit. Asking the Lord for his mercy, asking the Lord for wisdom, speaking to the Lord as he is, a friend, our best friend. You know, Jesus acknowledged that while Martha's work of hospitality and getting things ready for their meal was certainly important, Mary's was even more so. Why? Because, as Jesus said, she had the better part. A life of prayer gives meaning and purpose to our work. A life of prayer is what unites us to God himself and has God working through us in what we do. It's our prayer that makes our work something sacred, draws us to holiness, and sanctifies us. And then we find ourselves sanctifying the world and our jobs, our chores. All of our activities become something sacred and holy if we offer everything that we do to Christ and we perform those things intentionally for his glory and the good of those that we serve. Unless we are a people with a godly worldview, and unless we see ourselves as destined to be saints, which we are, remaining for Christ, with Christ for all eternity, then it's going to be impossible. We can be like so many others in the world who exist, sadly, only to make life a living hell. And it happens all too often. People who lose the gaze on Christ and gaze only upon themselves. My thought, my desire, my passions, my will, my way. That's the language of Satan. Christ instead says, I come to do not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If we grow apart from that, we will make life here a living hell, experiencing and producing nothing more than sadness, hatred, drudgery, finding no purpose in life, finding no purpose in death, and finally end up being damned to hell forever because of it. But King David asked the Lord, in the responsorial psalm we see this question, Lord, who will dwell with you in your sanctuary? What sort of person lives with you forever? And the Lord responds, the one who lives without blame, who seeks to avoid evil and does what is good, the one who does not lie to me or to others or to himself, and speaks no harsh or condemning words, the one who helps, not harms others, one who seeks friendship and concord, not one who stirs up trouble or anger, division or discord, one who is despised by the evil-minded and the bad-willed, while he honors and is honored by those who love and serve me, one who lends without demanding a return or interest, one who is generous and gives, one who does not blackmail or cheat, one who does not destroy the innocence of another. One such as this stands firm. One such as this stands firm. May we pray, may we work to stand so firm in our faith, our hope, and our love in and for Jesus Christ.